Hey there, if you are ready to build your service-based business from scratch and ditch your 9-to-5, then I want you to head on over to shedidithowaypodcast.com/leap and download my free Ultimate Leap Checklist and Starter Kit. Again, you can head to shedidithowaypodcast.com/leap to download my Ultimate Leap Checklist and Starter Kit to get started on building your service-based business and ditching your 9-to-5. Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, where it's all about making the ultimate leap from your 9-to-5 and building a business and life you love, all while doing it your way. I'm your host, Amanda Bolin. Let's get started. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I wanted to hop on here real quick before we dive into today's episode and just let you know it's a little different than probably majority, if not all of the previous episodes that I've had or guests that I've had on the podcast. And today we're actually talking about astrology. And I share how I met Deborah Silverman, who is the astrologist that I brought on here. And to even give you guys a little bit more backstory, which I tell, like I kind of dive into it at the end of it, just through the natural conversation. But I wanted to give you guys a kind of this preview and a little bit of backstory and understanding why, you know, astrology and all these different types of things. And so first, I encourage you that regardless of what religion or non-religion that you follow, the interview is still, I believe, insightful in the fact that it may spark some curiosity that you never had before. But then the other part is that the reason why I brought Deborah on here is because I have also felt this like incredible massive shift that has been happening. And it really deals with the feminine versus masculine side, especially when it comes to business. And so if any of you out there have ever felt like you're just pushing, trying to put a square peg into a round hole, that is some of the stuff that gets unpacked in this interview. And I just wanted to share that with you, but I'm going to go ahead and we're going to turn it over to the interview with Deborah Silverman. Hello, my beautiful She Did It Her Way listeners. Welcome back to another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast. I'm so excited to introduce you guys to this amazing woman, Deborah Silverman, who is part astrologer, part psychotherapist, part comedian, and all real. And she's been in practice for over 40 years. Deborah has helped people turn on their inner observer to see themselves objectively. She uses astrology and her own systems, the four elements, as a tool to empower people. Deborah's mothering approach to understanding people has earned her international fame and admiration. She has written a book, magazine columns, hosted a radio show, and has a YouTube channel with over 7 million views. And Deborah is an expert in embracing the feminine. Her dream is to revolutionize therapy by teaching therapists how to provide custom treatment to their clients. Deborah, welcome to She Did It Her Way.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, this is such a fun little kind of full circle moment because I actually got introduced to you by the lovely Amanda Goolsbee, who has also been on this podcast. And I remember one of the first things that she told me to do was you have to search Deborah Silverman on YouTube and watch the videos about how she reenacts all these different, like the astrologies for Capricorn or Aries. And so I hopped on YouTube and I was with one of my other girlfriends and then my husband, and we were cracking up laughing. So that is like my first, and you guys, we're going to link to it too in the show notes, but you have to watch it. Like it was so spot on. But before we dive into that, I would love for you to tell us in your own words a little bit about who you are, where you're at today. And then I want to unpack it because you're actually one of the first, I believe, out of over 300 interviews, astrologer to come on the show. So I'm really excited to talk about this sort of feminine energy astrology side and how it can help us in business. So I'll let you take it away.
Okay. So I am both a trained psychotherapist. I have a master's in clinical psychology. And then I'm also a very seasoned astrologer of over 40 years. It's so funny. So, and I've combined the two with the intention of marrying psychology and astrology with a hope that people would be able to find their purpose, that they would get closer to a sense of clarity or articulation of like, what are you here to do? And how do you deal with your personality type? Which I just want you to know, Amanda, I have your chart in front of me.
I know you asked for my birth date and I was like, oh, I feel like I'm like super naked and vulnerable right now. Cause I'm like, she's reading my chart and there's probably all these things. And I'm like, but when I watch your video, I'm like, I'm total Capricorn, but anyway,
you're a double Capricorn. I don't know if you knew that.
What does that mean?
That means that the sun, obviously the sun sign was kept. We all know where our sun sign was because the day, every single day, 1 degree a year, the sun moves around the sky. So we always know on January 1st, it'll be Capricorn. On May 1st, it'll be Taurus. But what we don't know is where will the moon be? Where? What's the rising sign, which is the moment of your birth? And your moment of your birth, the constellation was Capricorn on the eastern horizon, right? Because you were born right as the sun just came up. So the sun and the rising sign were at the exact same spot, which makes you a double Capricorn.
That explains so much.
Which tells us why you're so committed to getting quality control. Like, you can't stand mediocrity. It just makes you nuts.
Oh my gosh.
When someone's not good at something. So you've got a first astrologer on your show who's a seasoned astrologer. There's a million astrologers, but no. Yeah, that's so Amanda. She would go straight to, how do I find the best astrologer? Okay, that will be, and thank you for Capricorn endorsement. Because I'm a good astrologer just by your own association.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Well, okay. And I would love to dive into the, you know, talking some of the terminologies about the rising and where we're born too. So let's unpack that. But first, so like, you've been studying this stuff for 40 years. And when you first started, because you were never in corporate, you just started doing astrology. And this was 40 years ago in a time when, I mean, I feel like astrology now is becoming a topic of conversation where it's not looked at this like woo-woo thing. It's actually, there's validity behind it, or more mainstream. Like, you know, people are looking at it differently today.
Well, it's the millennials that are really helping turn it around. It's still very unpopular, and people make still the face of like, did you drink the Kool-Aid, or why do you believe? So you have to know that you're an open-minded generation. The millennials, and they've come in, you guys have come in with a really strong desire to step away from traditional old school thought process and open your mind. So to my benefit, because I came in at the time when I was in graduate school and came to my supervisor to say, I want to do research on astrology and mental illness. And she was like, what did you just say? Like, this was the farthest thing. But Carl Jung, who was the original psychiatrist, he originated the word psychology in the 1930s. He was an astrologer. So he was quoted to say, but they didn't tell. He didn't put that public till about 20 years ago. He was quoted to say, psychology will be a dinosaur science until it includes astrology. So he knew then that if you have someone tell you their problems and what's wrong with them from their point of view, which is always subjective, but there's an objective cosmic big picture angle that changes it all from like, well, why are you that way? And how does that facilitate your growth or your evolution or your karma? Words that psychology still to this day is only just beginning. Carl Jung was all about that. What's your purpose? What's the mission? What's the mythology that you're carrying? And so I can look at a chart and say, listen, like in your case, you really did come to marry magic with practicality. That was your promise. So not a surprise. You're very, very steeped in practicality, business, corporate numbers, but not at the expense of the magical realm. I can imagine that's not an easy marriage. Like what I'm doing, you're doing a similar thing. How do you bring spirituality to business would be your question.
You know, when you say that, I've definitely found myself at some times I'm like, well, I see how I can lean into one side strongly of the business where there's practicality and like everything has to have a purpose, but I can also respect and have empathy towards there's something bigger working at play and you have to follow the intuition piece of it in order to like marry that together. So that's really interesting.
Without the marriage of the male and female, and you're married, and anyone that's in a relationship, even if it's a gay relationship, it's always a dynamic between two polarities. One person's optimistic, one person's pessimistic. One person's an early riser, one person's nighttime. One person likes to eat meat, like there's these opposites in everything we do. And then the question is, do we have the wisdom to dance between the two and not get caught in one's right and one's wrong? So you have to include spirituality in this lifetime. It's absurd to think. I mean, I find it amazing that there's the awe element. I think it's so funny that all these millennials say awesome all the time. Awe or awesomeness is a spiritual word. It's being beyond belief. Like you can't believe how magical this is. And then the practical side says, yeah, really? Does it grow corn? Is there money involved? How long is this going to take? So we have two facets that must be honored. And without the marriage of the male-female or the polarization as the observer, and I have this book that I've written called The Missing Element that your listeners can get a signed version from me or go on Amazon. You can go on my website and get my signed version with your chart in it, or you can go on Amazon and get it. But the whole missing element is we have to fall in love with just the clear reality of this existence without judging it. And that's what I call the observer. Like, how do you accept this place is so strange? So much wealth and such poverty. So much generosity in consciousness, people so open-minded and so stingy. Like, how do those two things go together? Well, that's the observer position, where we just take a point of view like, this life is so weird. I mean, everyone can point to 1,000 stories where they're going to say, you can't believe what just happened to me. And then you listen to the story. And then the end is turn on your observer, have compassion, and then try to ask the question like, what can I do to help the situation? How can I change this? What can I do to bridge these two polarities? How can I be the intercessor between spirit and reality without negating either one?
How, so, I mean, and that is like so fascinating in itself, and I'm still introductory into, you know, taking myself out of what I believe to be the end all be all physical experience and really step back and play the observer role. But I would love, like, if you could set the base for astrology. So you talked about Carl Jung, I believe, in the 1930s and introducing, you know, psychology and astrology. Just out of curiosity, why do you think there's so much resistance in introducing astrology into psychology? And then what is the basis for it? And how do you get people? Because like you were saying, some people might still be skeptical. Other people aren't, like, oh, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. Like, how do you describe, describe that to someone who's a questioner?
I love your Capricorn. Let's get down to the bottom line. So one is astrology got disregarded because the church back in the early days made it into black magic. So anyone that's been raised Christian or anyone that's even been raised Buddhist, they disregard the quality. Buddhism has changed because now the Dalai Lama does use astrology and he has an oracle. You know, that's different. But Christians, it clearly said, you are not going to have any means to have an independent thought. You're going to follow this structure, this Bible, and you're not letting anyone else come in and give you information. So that shut down the access point for magic. They obviously want to control. Well, that's dated. And then in psychology, that was contagious. That level of consciousness that astrology was, you know, superficial and it's dippy and it has no meaning. And to your question about where the origin is, it's back in Egypt. It's the oldest science on earth. It came through, we don't know. This is my mystery that bugs me. We don't really know how those archetypes were described, but there are 12 archetypes at the basis of astrology that are the 12 personality types, which is those millions and millions of hits that I've gotten on YouTube with the ones that you're talking about.
Oh my gosh, so funny, yes.
So accurate. Because why are they so funny? Everyone always tells me how funny they are. Because they're so accurate. I'm just like, if I do Capricorn and start playing out Amanda's personality, you're going to crack up because you're like, how does she know? Well, those were the archetypes that were it's the architecture of the human psyche that was described to us in great detail back in Egyptian with hieroglyphics and incredible stories. But it all was put into a drawer and left behind as soon as religion, you fast forward, you know, coming into the Renaissance, coming into the whole time of Christ. Let's just start with Christ. Christ entered. He was led by two stars. I mean, that's so funny that they found him under the influence of stars following this particular northern star. And we disregarded because after Christ came and did his magic, they were like, we are going to put this in a box and make everybody follow us. Well, that is not astrology. I don't put people in boxes. I get them out of the box.
Yeah.
Like, you are going to be you. Please don't listen to anybody else. I want you to be you. And that's, so the history goes all the way back to Egypt. The squishing of it, or the condensing, or the contraction happened in religion. And now the millennials, which is what New York Times has been writing about, are falling in love with astrology. And that's where I come in. So I love working with, in my school, we have a school, online school. In fact, your friend Amanda, who introduced us, did it, the course. The beginning course, which is whether you're an advanced or a total novice, is just a 6-week class. And we have from people from 14 years old to we've had someone at 90 years old take the class. So it doesn't matter how old you are. The class is an actual entrance into your psyche at a very unique level. Everything I do is custom. Like, we look at your chart, we describe your character, your timing, your, so, you know, of course we all love talking about ourselves.
And yeah.
Your moon's in Leo, by the way. So part of you just loves being in center stage and being able to share your information. Well, that's what astrology does. It gives you a language to talk about you and then in language to talk about the person sitting next to you without comparing. Just distinguish the differences. Turn on your observer. Notice that your mom was a neat freak and you were messy. Notice that your dad never talked and your brother never shut up. These are not judgments. They're just distinguishing factors of personality. And that's why it's starting to really take off. It makes me so happy.
Yeah. I mean, it is definitely this. And I always remember when I was younger reading in the newspaper, the astrology, and finding it fascinating. My family, we grew up in Iowa, as you know, because of my birth chart. And we did go to church, but after I made my communion, it kind of fell off from there and my parents didn't go. And there was a time when I got back into church and, I kind of just always, you know, my personal journey and everybody listening, I know I have listeners that go to church regularly, that are agnostic, I'm sure all different, across the board in terms of their views and stuff. So mine, like, kind of recentered back into this, like, there's something else that's working and more of like, we're all beings of energy. And so there's more to us that is happening, I think, than we see at the eye, which has brought me back into, you know, really following through with astrology and paying attention to the moon and those different things. So I've definitely gotten more curious. And before, when you were talking about, and I've heard it, like the rising, can you explain, like, on a birth chart, the things that you look for? And like, if someone wants to go online and do a quick search for theirs, like, you know, I've done it before where I've gone online and I got a birth chart and I'm like, this is great, but I don't know what the heck this means. I have zero.
It's all an Egyptian hieroglyphics.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, this is cool. Like, there's squares and 90 degrees, but what does it mean? So, I mean, any sort of basics that you could provide just if someone's listening, that would be amazing.
Well, the short answer is it's a circular picture, literally, as an astronomer would take a photograph of the sky. So it's not woo-woo. Mm. It's hard science. It's literally, where were the planets at the moment of your birth? Now, if we go back to Egypt when this began, how did they know to determine the movement of the moon as distinct from the sun or from Mars and Venus? And how did they know the influence that Mars was the male energy? The symbol of it is a circle with a little penis sticking out. And then Venus is the female energy, the little stick figure that has a little, you know, she looks like she's looking in a mirror, the Venus. Mm. How did we make these representations? How did we discern that? The short answer is the hard science, which will make your Capricorn happy, is pure physical reality determined by a mathematical equation brought to us by the Egyptians. Now, that in and of itself should make you scratch your head and go, what? Like, why did they know? How did they know?
Yeah.
And by the way, it's been sustainable. Here we are 5,000 years later. It's still true because they were right. So it just says a lot about, we were given this gift of astrology downloaded, I think, by a much higher intelligence. It wasn't from humans. I don't believe it. But in any case, it doesn't matter. Clearly, the science involved is very solid. Now, after they take a picture of the heavens at the moment of your birth, and where was the sun? Was it rising in your case? Rising? Where was the moon? It was in Leo. And we know all the planets. Now the art enters. How is an astrologer going to unpack, as you say, unpack the...
Yeah.
The personality, the sun sign, the moon is your emotional temperament. Like, how do you, like, you get pissed off when you're upset? Your moon's in a fire sign. Mm. So if we push Amanda up against the wall, which is what the moon talks about, you're going to come back going, hey, hey, hey. Like, you're not going to sit still when someone does something wrong. You can't handle it. You just
very accurate.
Yeah. Like, whoa, Nelly. And then afterwards you're like, that was, you justify it. Like, that was true what I said. And then they're like, Amanda, calm down. That's a different personality type than the one that says, no, 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 drive the other way. Skip the conflict. You walk straight into it. You're like, we're not going to avoid this. People have to speak up, says Amanda.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I was actually just having this conversation with someone else probably like a week ago. I'm like, well, if they've got something to say, like, why don't they just say it? Like, what's wrong? Conflict is not bad. Conflict, like, let's talk about it. Let's just hit it head on. But
it's true. That's a very specific, you have a gift and that's very unique. And by the way, in our society up till now, if you were a woman with your chart, you would have been oppressed. But because you're living in 2019 and we're in the Aquarian age, it's free for you to get on a podcast and speak your truth and tell people what you think. And we like you for that. That is so different than what would have happened when your grandmother was growing up.
Oh, I bet. For sure.
So this is the nature of astrology. Astrology is a timekeeper, and it gives us the big picture, and it shows us a timeline. It's very clear in astrology that your generation came in with a incredible, like, you have, your life lesson is fire, blunt honesty. So now that was a generation that your kids, you, all the kids you grew up with, now some of them squish that quality and they gain weight and they get depressed and they feel frustrated. People like you are like, are you kidding? Watch this. And you take the fire and you run.
And well, yeah. So if you don't mind pausing right there, you said something that I'm curious about. You're saying that, like, okay, my generation and the millennials come in and some take and run with it and some don't. And then you said that they gain weight or they get depressed and things like that. What, I kind of want to know more about that.
Yeah. It's the best question in the whole world. What determines that one person will use that energy to show up and show off and give us vitality, which is who you are. And another person becomes very self-conscious and learns at a young age, uh-oh, don't do that. You're going to get in trouble. So they squish it, they contract, and they expand by their body weight and by their depression. So what's the answer to the question is, there is different evolutions of a soul. You meet some people and you just go, wow, that person's so perky. Like the little kid, they can come in as a three-year-old. And you're like, they have said the most unbelievable things. My son, this is a true story, at 4 years old, he was in his car seat, and he said, Mom, stop the car, I have some questions. And then this was a list of questions, and I had to write them down. I was like, what are we doing here? One, how did Adam and Eve ever get here in the first place? Two,
oh my gosh.
If we can't see God, why do we believe it? Three, will God ever die, or does it just go on forever? I was like, okay, this is so weird. Well, he's an old soul. I said to him, I can't answer those questions. I'm so sorry. Can we write this down and we'll just do a little research? And we found out the only one we can get an answer to was he figured out God does exist because it's a feeling, not a person. And so if you can feel it, you can sense it. But the other two, he never got an answer. He was like, I don't know about this Adam and Eve thing. How did they get here?
That I can't imagine having a four-year-old just tell the parent to like pull over and do that. And okay, so now I know, like, we're kind of going on tangents here, but I'm so curious, like, on the old soul part, can you determine that by someone's chart? And what makes an old soul an old soul?
Such a great question. And no, you can't tell by the chart, which is why you have to engage, and I have certified astrologers, you have to be with the person to actually fill in what the chart says and what the person does with the chart. That's why two twins can have a completely different expression, because depending on the evolution of their soul, they can take that same gift and not use it or use it. So that's true. The evolution of the soul is only determined by the way they experience and express it. And so astrology has potentials, but there's clearly the same timing. And twins all over the world, they get married the same year. They have children the same year. They have a very similar timeline. But what they do with it is the variable, and that's the evolution of a soul. And no, you cannot tell by looking at a chart. You can tell by sitting next to someone. You can just forget the chart. You sit next to someone, you go, wow, that person, I just sit next to them and I feel so much better. Or that person, I sit next to them and I feel anxious. I don't know why. I just don't want to sit next to them. And that's the soul speaking without having to use words. And you know that. Like, think about the people you know. There's always some character in your life where you go, that person has so much wisdom. And my kids, plural, are old souls. Well, of course, they came in through me and said, I want a mom who will let me be, because old souls are often very weird. They don't follow. They can't conform. So those of you that are wondering, and young souls just get the lesson. Someone told me this the other day. I loved it. She said to me, I'm a really young soul. I couldn't believe my ears. She was doing something for me, and I was like, how do you know? And she said, because I just never learned my lessons.
Oh my. Well, that is very insightful for that individual too.
And then I thought, how could you be a whole young soul and have that sentence? But okay.
Right. So another question too. I mean, in terms of astrology, is believing that we choose the life that we come into, we're actively choosing that before we actually come in through it through birth. Is that part of astrology or is that separate?
I have a really hard time with that. That's one of those woo-woo things that, like, people say, everything's perfect. It's all meant to be. You create your own. I call them fat sentences. Everything's perfect and it's all meant, like, come on. So you chose your parents. I always think to myself, my God, I had these two Jewish crazy parents. Did I choose that? No, I had an assignment based on what I needed to learn. It's a much more abstract concept than I was like, I'll take her and I'll take him. And by the way, I like the No, that's not how it went. So my belief is I can't understand it. I'm humble enough to say to you, all I can see is the evidence. Spirits that take on a lifetime that's difficult and turn it into gold are spirits that learned how to use whatever they were handed with a very uplifted point of view. People that are victimized and they can't get out from underneath their pain, that's usually a sign of a soul that's really suffering. And it's not a bad thing. It just means this lifetime, it wasn't so easy. And did they choose it? Well, it was probably a symptom or a, you know, evolutionary result of having to learn a certain lesson. It repeats itself. If you don't get the lesson, it repeats itself. Or maybe you turn the worst story ever into a positive. And I love those people. Ever since I was a kid, I've been fascinated by characters like what happens to someone who's been squished, like a Rosa Parks who's in the back of the bus, but something in her says, get up and stand up. And or a Martin Luther King, where you're like, what did you do? And that's in my book. There's stories in my book about one character who spent 27 years in San Quentin, and I helped get him out of prison. And on the day that he got out, which I was there and filmed it, made a slight, small documentary, I'd been friends with him for years, a big black man who I'd known by only pen paling. But I had possibility of helping him out of prison and went, and now we're still very close friends. It was just one of those fated things, but I'll never, ever get over the fact that he took the high road. And while he had a life sentence, he should never have gotten out. He never changed his attitude, and that's how he was freed. And by the way, you and he have the same life lesson, which is optimism in the face of everything.
So selfishly, what is just continue choosing optimism, regardless of whatever it is?
You keep the power of your ability to have faith above all else. Now, that's easy for me to say, but if you're depressed or you're addicted or you've had violence, or it's not easy, but he did it. So he's been a hero for me, and he's in the second chapter of my book, and his story is remarkable. And so all of us are invited to... That's why I've always been fascinated. People that are given the hardest, this is what I was taught many years ago. The bigger the story, the bigger the spirit. So people that take on really heavy karma or, you know, life and manage to get through it are muscular. It's like they've got some kind of superpower, like mandala. Like, how did he do that? But not everyone does, but we use them as inspirations. And I love watching I read autobiographies. I love watching the human spirit push through and stand apart. And that's the sign of an old soul.
Yeah. So then when you're working with people, you're reading these birth charts, like how, oh my gosh, I just had my question. Can people develop these skills? Like if they have a specific, like if there's something specific on my birth chart and let's say it's like, hey, you lack empathy. Does that mean that I won't have that? Like, because ultimately it's a choice for me to decide that I'm going to exercise empathy versus just ignoring it. Right. So like,
yeah, that's why the book's called The Missing Element, because when you're like, for you, that would be just the description of not having a lot of water, and water is the element of sensitivity. Now, if you don't have it, I'm just looking at your chart. If it's not your strong suit, and by the way, you do have it, but yours comes, you have water. Your problem is that you're super blunt and down bottom line. Like you're with people like, look, get over it. That's your favorite line. Like, just keep going. Like, are you going to really let this take you down? You can't believe to you how people let themselves be victimized. Well, you have an extremely athletic, strong chart. Your body and your endurance is way more than most of us. Like, you just keep going. When we're all tired, you're like, we're not done yet. And everyone's like, oh, come on, Amanda. You have a lot of chi. Have you noticed?
Yes. Yeah. I didn't know that it was I didn't know I was a double sign though. But I mean, and so like in that case, right? Because even with you saying that on my chart, and lately it has been super heightened where I have considered it like I have little patience for BS. And so what you had just said there where I'm like, okay, come on, like, let's keep going. Like that's stopping you. Like, let's keep going. I know that sometimes in my line of work, being like a coach, thinking I need to be more empathetic or like learning how to channel that in a way that's productive for people, not just even that I work with, but like other people around me, including friends and family, like is that like, do you find people then take that chart and then say like, oh, here's some things that I want to exercise and like practice?
Well, you're a double Capricorn. You have the highest standard. You're the most sophisticated earth sign, which comes with arrogance and it comes with opinions. Like there's nothing subtle about you. You're opinionated. So but that's a gift as a coach. As long as you say to your client, please forgive me if I step over your feelings. I don't mean to. So your awareness is there. And then, yes, you cultivate it. You learn water. And that's what's in my book. You're missing water as far as a personality type. So you'd read in the book, what do I do to cultivate this? That's what the course in more details about. Like we at the first level, the class, they would look at your chart and see you were a double Capricorn, Moon and Leo, and say, uh-oh, you're not the most compassionate character. So we would give you the homework of, why don't you go watch some sad films and make your heart begin to feel again, because if you're not careful, you can get numb to people. You just won't understand them. So go watch it and get more, and that will cultivate the missing element. And that's really what my work's about. As a therapist, I'm trying to get people balanced. There's four elements, like four wheels in a car. If one element's down, the thing goes off. So I'm always looking at, how do I help you balance? In your case, it would be compassion. Some people cry at the drop of a hat. Some people can't find their tears. They've shriveled them up or they've lost them. And we know that by looking at a chart. And then we help you balance. So to your point, yeah, honestly, your chart has a tendency to be a little bit, I'm going to be nice. First, it's opinionated and then it's arrogant.
Okay.
And you're not surprised by that. I'm sure you know that.
Yeah. I mean, I know that I have strong opinions, and even after watching your video on YouTube, I was like, oh my God, this is so me. Like, does it serve a practicality? Like, that's not efficient. Why are we doing this? Does this even make sense? Like, can I have nice wine, please? Like, I want less, but better. Like, I don't need a ton of stuff, but the stuff that I need and that I have, it's gotta be nice. It's gotta serve purpose. So,
it's so funny. I had a stepson I raised, double Capricorn. It was just a great story. His sister was all air and she was just the lightest little butterfly. And we were at a holiday and I said, okay, you're going to go in and buy yourself. This is once in a lifetime because you've been so good. You're going to go buy yourselves a gift. Pick out anything you want. There's all these little touristy little souvenirs and double Capricorn. There's nothing in here that I want. What do you mean? We just said you can buy anything. This is all stupid stuff. She was buying 85, you know, her was like, I'll have this and I'll have that. And that's when I looked at him and went, double Capricorn, we are not wasting money on stupid things, even at the age of 10.
Oh my gosh. That is totally like the case where I'm like, nah, just, you know what? No, I don't care. I don't want stuff just to have stuff.
It's so good that you know that. And this is the gift of astrology, is letting people understand their personality type without judging. And that's what I call the observer. Like, how do you just notice what is without calling it good or bad?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I love, this isn't true for me, but let's pretend. I love sugar. I love alcohol. I love coffee. That's not good for me. But what's true is I have an indulger. Let's pretend that was the case. So then I call it, I name it. I don't go into severe, you're so bad, I'm never going to lose weight. That's what I do. Now, once the neutral observer's on, and you can name it and just without judging yourself, that's the beginning of going on the diet, because it's not coming from mean. It's coming from neutral. Like, yes, I like to spend my, whatever your addiction is. I like to spend money and I tend to go and I buy things I don't really need. This is not you. And then you say to yourself, okay, that's true about me. I'm going to say it out loud. I will verbalize this without judging it. And you will be amazed at what happens when the judge is put to sleep and you're allowed to just observe from a neutral, non-judgmental. That's the beginning of freedom and choice. That's what the book is about. How do I give people back to the freedom to name their personalities, to know the distinctions of their characters and not make it wrong? Some people hate the fact that they're so sensitive. And some people hate the fact that they're so insensitive. I mean, it's really random, but it's a wide range of options.
And then it's like what you're saying, become the observer, and then you can slowly start making change. Or even with me, sometimes I need to go watch a movie that is emotional so I can tap back into that exactly. Piece of it. Going back to kind of like the fundamentals of a birth chart. So you have the sun and the moon and then the rising, and like, what are some of the other key components to a birth chart that someone could go online and look, and then, or just, you know, if they already know this already, that they could take into account to better understand more about theirs?
Well, the most important for me is, well, there's so much to do there, but I'm going to give you one stop. Saturn is the planet of our life lesson. It's the most important planet. And Saturn tells me what you promised to do this life. So in your case, you promised, it's in Sagittarius, and you promised you would be blunt. Like you made an agreement, that, and you also promised that you would do joy, because Capricorns aren't so funny. But your life lesson is joy. And Capricorn's like, that's not practical. But that's what you said. You would come down here and you'd turn up the volume of bluntness, of honesty, of physicality, of practicality, not practicality, of wildness. And then your Capricorn's going, excuse me, what'd you say? That doesn't make sense. So you have to deal with the conflict, and that is what's astrology. So simple, go look at where your Saturn is, and then you'll look at what element, yours is fire, and know that your life lesson was you promised you would do fire this life, which has a whole bunch of language that comes with it. So yeah, there's definitely, there's a, I don't know if you know about www.thestarcommunity.com. We have a website, a membership site for like $22 a month. And you can go in there and you can study just every month. I do videos, I do interviews with famous people, I do karma, I do the full moon, the new moon, the retrogrades. You get all this information every month. So it's a beginner's way.
That's amazing.
To start learning, because I didn't know how, the school only happens twice a year, in September and in January. So I didn't know what to do in the meantime. Like there's all these people that want to study, but they don't have one, the financial means, or so I just decided to do a membership site. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. I'm definitely going to look into that. Is the Saturn return, is that, that's one that, is that what happens every 28 to 31 years?
Exactly right. And it is a doozy. And yours was 2 years ago. When did you get married?
2 years ago.
Oh, I'm so proud of myself.
Should I have waited?
No, you did Saturn return. That's what happens. Everybody.
No.
That's what happens. People get married, they get divorced, they have a kid, they change their career. It's predictable, like the sun coming up.
So my Saturn return was 2 years ago. So I would have been 29.
And you got married.
Wow.
Ding, 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 ding.
Interesting. I mean, yeah, I would say that in that year was probably like, it was some of the highest highs and some of the lowest lows.
Absolutely.
Of like breakthrough and like total discomfort for
Welcome sure. Saturn return, where you will be taken to the edges of all of your extremes.
Mm. And then how does someone find out when their exact Saturn return is? Is that part of their birth chart?
Of course, you call the astrologer. So if you go on my website, which I'm sure you guys will put the link in.
Oh, yeah.
Deborah Silverman Astrology, then you just click on certified astrologers, and there's a list of 12, and they give you a picture, maybe there's more, pictures of who they are, and you start to figure out, who am I going to call? Ghostbusters. No. Who am I going to call to help me understand when my Saturn returns? And by the way, it's not just 29 to 30. It happens every 7 years. So they'll give you the dates. Of when.
Oh, geez. Okay, it's
not, it's not that extreme. Let me make that clear. Your Saturn return is the most extreme example.
Oh, okay.
Every 7 years, something changes. They call it the 7-year itch. You may have heard that term. It just
is that where that came, that comes from?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that is very fascinating.
There's light bulbs going off everywhere, Amanda.
I know. I love it. It's like my Capricorn is just soaking all of this up. No, and I like really appreciate you just unpacking like a lot of this for astrology. And I know that it's definitely going to pique some interest if people aren't like already fully interested in astrology. I know that it's just definitely going to, people are going to be a little bit more curious, because I've found, especially with, I mean, and you post amazing Instagram videos and stories just like on your Instagram page. And I love watching those every 2 to 3 days whenever you post them, because it's so inspiring and telling and things to look for. And I think even today you're talking about noticing the like, I don't know if it was fiery or there's just going to be emotions that are coming around. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like I watched it for today, which is Wednesday. And then it was for yesterday and today. And then I noticed yesterday in the afternoon, these like emotions and fiery things started kicking in. And I'm like, okay, I just need to continue to like sit silent when I need to in those times and do that. So I really appreciate it, but I will, yeah, we'll link the Star Community. I'm going to check that out as well. Aside, like in addition to Saturn return, talking about retrograde, and my husband kind of laughs because he's always like, every time you go crazy or not crazy, but he's like, it's always retrograde. Like how many retrogrades happen a year and all these things. But if someone's tuning in and they're like, I've heard of retrograde, but I'm not really sure exactly what it is. Like, how do you describe it? Cause I have friends that are like, what is astrology? That makes no sense. And when I try to explain it, I was like, it just is. And they're like, yeah, well, you're really not helping the case. And I was like, whatever, I trust it. So
that's your whole dilemma. This life is the marriage of those two right and left brain.
Yeah.
So the short answer is yes, the star community and Instagram every 2 days, a video comes out telling you where the moon is. That's free. But the point of that story is Mercury retrograde happens 3 times a year. It is a noticeable physical reality. It's scientifically proven that computers, airlines, transportation, communication, things go off. There's no question. That's I always said for years and years, I used to say, I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. Because I'm a very skeptical person. I have a lot of earth in my chart. And then as the years have gone by, I'm like, excuse me, how loud does it have to be? The craziest things happen during it. So the answer is, it appears as though Mercury is going backwards. It's like when two trains are riding side by side, all of a sudden one looks like it's going backwards. It isn't going backwards, but the physical presence of it appears that way. And that happens to Mercury. We are moving side by side to Mercury. It's the only planet that's right next to the earth that moves always with the sun. It's always moving one sign behind the sun, in front of the sun, or equal to. And when it starts to move, it's at the same speed in the same direction, it appears like it's going backwards. And at that point, there is a magnetic influence. Now, again, I'm a skeptic. Sounds like you have that shades of it. Your husband certainly does.
Yeah, he does.
We don't need to explain it. We just need to say, pay attention. I always tell everybody, you don't have to believe in astrology. It believes in you. It's following you around. You don't need to believe in angels. They're following you around. You don't need to believe in God. It's taking care of you. So your mind is irrelevant. I love the fact that people are skeptics, and I love that they're losing their minds. Now, we should all lose our mind, put our attention on our heart, and pay attention to results, because that speaks so much louder than all these blah, blah, blah podcasts, blah, blah, blah. All we do is talk. I always say that when I'm at a party and all the kids are in the other room playing hide and go seek and jumping up on the bed, and we're in the other room talking, I'm like, what is wrong with this picture?
We should be jumping on the bed.
Why do we talk all the time? Because our minds become the center of the universe. When we're in reality, it's the sun that's the center. It's life force. It's vitality. It's engaging. It's embodiment. Like the people you like the best, which you're one of them, it's Amanda's another one, are the alive ones. The ones that are sleeping in the middle of the movie and they've gotten stuck in their head. And in their head is some little gremlin who I don't know who pays the guy, but he works all the time. He says the meanest things. He shows up in the middle of the night and no one even knows who he works for. Who is that voice? Isn't that peculiar? So when you put your attention away from the gremlins and the negative voice and into the endless skeptics, and you put your attention on your heart and you say, you know, I did notice that during Mercury, like what you just said, I've noticed it too. The last 2 days, the moon's been in Aries. It's been a little edgy. I don't feel as connected to myself.
It's so true.
And by the way, it's going to shift tomorrow. And we're all going to go, oh, I feel so much better.
Oh, thank goodness.
When are you recording? When does this go out to your audience?
I think I have it scheduled for August.
Oh, that's so great. Cause they can still, that's so perfect. Cause the school doesn't start until September and we only
Awesome.
So if anyone's interested in the school, cause you learn. These questions you're asking are such good questions, and they are always so important as a beginner. What is Mercury retrograde? What does it mean when the moon is conflicted with my chart? Why is there a square in the heavens? I can't give you that in a 30-minute talk, but I can promise you without a question that if you put your mind on an ancient science and you open up the door, there is a part of your psyche, especially if you've been drawn to astrology since you were a kid. If you have that part of your psyche that said, you know, I know this astrology stuff is latent. It's like waiting in the back room. You can put the door on, open the door, put the lights on. You're going to go, oh my God, this stuff is so easy because it's so true.
Yeah. And going back to what you said about Mercury retrograde, I made the mistake. Well, I guess I didn't really know. It was a pretty emotional time at the end of February and early March. There was just a lot of energy and things that were happening at that time. And like, right as that happened, my husband and I moved into a different apartment, right smack dab in the middle of Mercury retrograde, and there were so many things, like communication wasn't clear. People showed up late. We didn't, like, things were being dropped, and I'm like, I can't, like, it's gotta be, I'm going to call it Mercury retrograde, because it was not a good time.
You have another thing going on besides, yes, it was Mercury retrograde. Oh. And you have something really intense that only happens once in a lifetime that is going on. And that would be Pluto. You want to read about this. Transiting Pluto, you got to write this down. Mm-hmm. Transiting Pluto conjunct your Mercury. It only happens once in a life. It'll never happen in my life. And it's been going on for almost 9 months. And it's changing your thought process. It's forcing you to surrender, which you're not good at.
Mm-mm. Wait, so there's a Pluto, transiting Pluto and conjunct in my Mercury? Did I say that right?
Okay. Transiting Pluto conjunct your natal Mercury. That's how you want to write it down.
Okay. And it's been happening for 9 months?
Yes. And it's really big. It makes things irritating, and it makes your mind changing. And you feel like everything that you thought was right, you're starting to reevaluate everything. And then things go glitchy, and then you have to reevaluate again. And it will end eventually. But in the meantime, you're really in a learning curve about who you are. Big.
Once How long does this go for?
It will be over in about 6 months. It's a year-long cycle.
And so not everybody goes through this?
No, I'll never have it. Pluto moves so slowly. It only moves in a whole year. Pluto only moves 3 degrees. So when it stays at 1 degree, which is 23 degrees, your Mercury, it sits there. And it just sits. And Pluto was found in 1930s when they found nuclear power, when Jung and Freud started psychology. It's the planet of the underworld. It rules the transformational energy that's sitting on your mind. So your mind is in a transformation. It's been going on now. I'm sure you can feel it.
For sure. I mean, one of the biggest things that's been happening is, you know, really challenging the, I think would be considered the Capricorn side, in the sense that, well, 2 + 2 is always 4, and this is how you do it. This is a strategy. So I'm going to plan, and I'm going to do. But then actually learning to be versus go, do. And it has started to shift the way that I view, like, how I'm showing up and how I'm doing business, for sure. That's one piece. I don't know if the chart says something else.
No, you got it. Everything you just said.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's...
See, this is what happens. I love doing podcasts because it's engaged in the reality that you as the producer or the person speaking is going, whoa. And that's what makes astrology real. Every time someone's given, and that's what happens during readings. Someone says something and you're like, that explains everything. And it's so liberating. Like, by the way, this is going to last for another 6 months, and please let go. I mean, you're being forced.
I know. I feel like up until the point that I started letting go, it was like, I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to surrender to it. I kept forcing and pushing it. I would tell some of my closest girlfriends that, like, sometimes it just feels like a grind. It feels like I'm pushing. It feels like I'm forcing. And I probably had a shift a few months ago, in the sense that I was like, I'm just not going to push anymore. I'm going to do what feels fun, and exactly. I'm going to be curious about it. And I'm not going to, like, try to plan. I mean, I remember at the end of last year, I tried to plan the entire 2019 in terms of, like, this is when I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to launch this and do that. And I just have realized, I'm like, I actually spend more energy and time trying to plan so far in advance that really what I look at now is having a vision for the next 3 to 6 months and a loose idea of, like, here's what I want to do. But in terms of, like, actually getting it on the calendar and planning, it's about a 2-week time span to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And then I also, like, I don't know if how human by design, if that, like, pulls into astrology, but I also read that, and it was based on, like, my information. I think it used my birthplace, all that information too, was saying that when I actually try to go out and be initiative and take action and, like, try to externally drum things up, it doesn't go well, where my strength is more of, sitting back and letting things come to me, because then I'm able, like what might take someone a month or 2 months to plan, I can easily see systematically like how you go from start to finish in like no time. And so I've had to learn that too.
You're so funny. So the short answer is you're being forced to release yes. into your female side and the female trust. So here's what I want to say to all your listeners. Mm-hmm. If you want to manifest, do your prayers. There are invisible factors. If you want to make success occur, do this prayer. Let me be of service. Let my life be of service. How can I fulfill my purpose? Please help me. Any sentence you can say, angels and guides and your higher self are listening all the time. But our minds, when you're Capricorn, you think you're in charge. Ha ha, you're not in charge.
I know.
I was sitting in a hot tub with one of my favorite people, a Zen master, very old man, wonderful, one of my favorite people. We were in silence, as you do with Zen masters. And after about, I don't know how long, it felt like a couple of days, I said to him, isn't it funny that we spend our whole life breathing? That really this is just an exercise in breath. And he said, no, the funny part, Deborah, is your ego thinks it's breathing. You're being breathed. You're not breathing. You're a Capricorn. You think you're in charge. I hate to hurt your feelings, but you're not.
Oh, you're not hurting my feelings. These are things that I like, I'm like, oh, I have certainly come. I love to control. It's also learning the balance of, you know, you're really not, there's outside factors.
I have a company with 15 employees. I run a business. It's a multi-million dollar business. It keeps me busy. And I have a lot of different people that are operating and responding to me. I am a female leader. Everything's level playing field. We're all sitting together. I take a vote on everything. I am completely conscious that it's not my own single voice. It's a feminine approach, which means I've got dreams. I'm a visionary. I see, but the execution and the timing evolves through an organic fashion. And oh my God, has it made business fun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is. I think, you know, it's scary for...
Yes.
Especially, and I've had to really pay attention, like as this shift has started happening, I saw it happen in some of my close friends and I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. Like that works for them, but that's not my camp. And then I have friends that are very much in the control camp, I guess, for lack of a better word. And so now as I've started the shift, I've had to protect my space and energy to not fall back in to like, cause I got curious and I'm like, okay, I want to explore this feminine intuitive side, which when you said feminine, I've gone to a few Reiki healers and the last one was like, you are so far in the masculine, like you need to get back into the feminine and like rebalance it. And so it's just very fitting that you're saying that. And I think it's just another reminder. And I hope like if anyone takes anything away from like listening, which they will of this podcast, one, go check out Deborah's stuff, but two, seeing how you can like encourage yourself to get curious about leaning more into the feminine side of it and trust that things will unfold. Cause I mean, that's definitely a journey that I'm still walking every day and trusting, but it's definitely like been a heck of a lot more fun trusting and going into that fluid motion of the feminine side than it has ever been trying to force and plan and be like, so, I mean, there's still strategies involved, but like not so specifically like this has to be a certain way where it feels like a square in a round hole.
Exactly. You got it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, this has been amazing. We are going to link to everything like Star Community, and then they can check, like my listeners can check out the courses, and also your book as well. But as we're wrapping up, I want to know like, what is something that you get your inspiration from?
The wind. I'm a biker. I bike every day on an electric bike and I don't get in a car anymore. And when I feel the wind and I feel the sun on my face, I'm humbled. And I remember that I'm merely a speck in the movement of this incredible existence. And when I feel that and I'm embodied in my yoga and my bike and my swimming in the ocean, I'm like, oh, that's right. I love being here. My body's getting off on this. When I'm sitting stagnant, said the Gemini, and I don't have anyone to play with, so the Libra rising, I start to go, I don't like it here so much. So I've really learned inspiration comes through nature and really being embodied, not just talking, but actually engaged in life, whether it's singing or cleaning or dancing or making love. This is such an engaged experience. You're only here for a short few minutes.
I know, but it's so like just reminding yourself that we're like, it's just a sliver at the time.
Every single day I eat this life alive. I take it into my face and my mouth and my ears and my skin. I'm like, I love this place, but it's not an easy thing. I had to practice that. It's not natural to me. I made myself fall in love with this place.
That's actually really inspiring too. I know, like, I think it's easy that people might think, oh, if someone, they meet someone after, you know, been doing whatever it is that they've been doing, it's kind of like, you know, looking at someone in their highlight reel and thinking, oh, they have it made. But we can't forget all the practicing that has come along the way to get to where we are today. So I love it. What is, the last question is what do you, what's a quote that you live by?
I think I'm one of my Einstein's one of my heroes. And I think one of my favorites is Goddess is not playing with dice. This is not a random exercise. This has been organized by a higher intelligence. So I keep that Einstein quote close by. God is not playing with dice.
I love it. And then last question is, where can people learn more about you? So I know you have Star Community, but what website should they go to first?
Just go to, it's D-E-B-R-A, DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com. And in my website, you will see, and I've got a YouTube channel and I've got an Instagram. I know, it's so funny because I'm 1,000 years old, much older than you. And I'm playing all the time on this unbelievable world called the internet.
I love it. It's so good. Deborah, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
I'm so happy. I could feel your vitality. I looked at your chart. I was like, oh, good. We got a quality control gal right here.
If you enjoyed today's podcast episode, you can head on over to SheDidItHerWayPodcast.com where you can access the entire vault of She Did It Her Way podcast episodes and more information all about how to make the ultimate leap from your 9-to-5. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful if you headed on over to iTunes and left a review letting me know what you love about the She Did It Her Way podcast. Until next time, keep doing it your way.